Genesis chapter 4. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the anatomy of sin in Genesis chapter number 3 and walked through that passage looking at Eve's choices and then Adam's and what God pronounced upon them, how in His goodness He protected them from the tree of life so that they were not living forever in the state of sin. Really, we could title chapter 4, The Consequences of That Choice. Though there were some consequences listed in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 4 lays out for Adam and Eve some devastating consequences that I'm guessing if they had known these consequences, they'd have made a different choice. But of course, so would we if we knew the consequences of sin. There's a lot of ways I could have titled this chapter. I kept going back and forth in what we could do, but I've chosen tonight to title it, Anger Hurts. Anger Hurts. Let's pick up in chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. We're introduced to two boys, born of Adam and Eve after they left the Garden of Eden. Two boys who would choose different paths. One would not live very long because of that choice. The other would utterly reject God and literally begin the process that eventually would lead to the flood. His ungodly line launched from his rejection of God. This evening, I'd like for us to just simply see this. We must do things God's way, no matter what we think. Number one tonight, let's look at the personalities that we see, and we're just going to really deal with the beginning. There's a lot of names and things at the end of the chapter. We'll touch on them, but we're really going to wait till next week to deal with the names in chapter 4 and 5, end of chapter 4 and 5. There's some fascinating truths in even the names. So wet your whistle a little bit for next week. But the personalities. First, we see Cain. His name means possession or gotten or acquired. Eve says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Some believe that Eve believed that he was the Messiah. As promised in Genesis chapter 3, she believed immediately God was going to provide a Messiah to redeem her. And she believed that Cain was that person, and that's why I've gotten a man from the Lord. Some even argue that the Hebrew construction is, I have gotten a man, Jehovah is the construction. There's some debate about that. He was a tiller, a laborer, a worker of the ground. John Phillips says, Cain, for all his faults, was no atheist. He was a conscientious, religious, exercised man. It was all in the wrong direction, but he believed in God. And we'll deal with that a little bit later on. Then there's Abel. Abel's name simply means breath. He was a shepherd. He was a keeper of the sheep. One man doing his own thing, another doing it God's way. That begs for us the question, which way are we tonight? I don't believe that Cain started out thinking, you know what, this is opposite of God's, and I'm going to do it my way. And as God confronted him a little bit later on, then he made some of those choices. I believe he was offering God his best, but it wasn't what God required of him. So the personalities. But number two, let's look at the problem. Verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Oh, what's the problem here? Well, let's look at a couple of words in here that will help us. The process of time, end of the season, basically. So when harvest would come is basically what it's saying there. An offering was a sacrifice. That's one of the meanings of the word. And based on the context, I believe that's what God was telling here. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." You say, well, Pastor, that verse wasn't written. Cain couldn't have known that. I believe Cain would have known that. I think surely Cain would have known the story of the fig leaves and the dead animal that needed to be sacrificed to cover his mom and dad. Surely they had told him that story. He had to have known that there was a God, even if he had not had any kind of personal interaction with him. Though I would argue, based upon what happens later in the chapter, that he very well could have had personal interaction with God. It didn't seem strange for him to be talking to God when God approached him. In the passage, it also talks about the firstlings and the fat. The firstlings was the birthright, that first lamb. Now, the fat, the choicest or the best part, if you will. God did not have regard or respect for Cain's sacrifice, but he did Abel's. The Brubakers bought me a study Bible for Christmas. I think I've mentioned it before. It's been a wonderful tool. But in that, he says this: the reason God had no respect for Cain's offering is because Cain insisted on presenting to the Lord that which had been cursed. I want you to think about that. Look, just turn the page to Genesis 3 and verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not have eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." Instead of offering a lamb, which John chapter 1 and verse 29, the John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Cain decided to offer the Lord the product of his own toil, that which he could produce. A picture of the good works that men try to do, but we know, of course, in Galatians chapter 3, that no flesh is justified by the deeds of the law. We could have entitled this passage, "The First False Religion." That would have been appropriate for what's happening in Genesis chapter 4. Cain did not want to live a life of faith, but rather his own way. Matter of fact, in Jude verse 11, it describes him as the way of Cain. And talking about people who would reject God. It was the way of Cain. Was it the way of God? All false religions would follow this same pattern. Matter of fact, Professor Monier Williams says this: "They," he's referring to all world religions, "all say that salvation must be purchased, must be bought with a price, and that the sole price, the price purchased money, the sole purchased money must be our own work and our own desirings." But God said, "You can't work your way to heaven. It's impossible. It doesn't matter that it is your best." It doesn't say that Cain offered his best, but I certainly believe he did. It doesn't matter that it is your best. It matters if it's obedient. Amen. How obedient are you? Well, I'm doing the best I can. That's what I want to ask you. How obedient are you to what God has told you to do? How hard would it have been for Cain to say to his brother, "Hey, I want to worship the Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Could I trade some vegetables for one of your lamb? Could I buy a lamb from you?" How hard would that have been? It would have cost him, if you will, no more than he already was giving. But in stubbornness, he would not yield to what God wanted for him. Perhaps some would say, well, God just arbitrarily chose Abel and rejected Cain. That's not true. God chose Abel's, had respect, if you will, unto Abel's offering because Abel's was obedient and Cain's was disobedient. It had nothing to do with the individuals. Number three, I want us to look at the payback. So what happens? Well, verse 5, the second part says this, "And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain," here's why I don't believe it was unusual for Cain to have had a relationship with the Lord, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Cain, what's wrong? If thou doest well," Cain, if you're doing right, "shalt thou not leave me accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him." We are so familiar with this story that I think we read it without thinking of the impact. I've been mad at my brother before. Matter of fact, I've beat him up before. I didn't do that very often. My brother was stronger than me a lot of times. But I never got remotely mad enough to even consider killing him. Why does Cain get so instantly angry? Matter of fact, let's look at three things as we talk about the payback. The anger. The word "very," it means exceedingly, with much force. So it's not just a casual thing. This is a forceful thing. Cain's angry. Wrath means to burn or to kindle anger. His countenance fell. His face wasted away would be another way that we could say that. Why? Why? Just because his brother offered a lamb and he offered some fruit of the vegetables or whatever it was there, the fruit of the ground as the Bible calls it. Why would that make him so angry? And angry enough eventually to kill his brother. Well, can I tell you that you and I get angry? Unrighteous anger is what we're referring to. At its root is because a violation of a perceived right has happened. That's why I get angry. Cain believed that he should have had respect. God should have had respect for his offering, and he didn't. And there was a perceived right violated, and he got mad at it. The truth is, he's really mad at God. That's who he's really mad at. Now, he's going to take it out on his brother. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You say, is all anger that way? Well, I can tell you, as I've processed it, it's hard for me to figure out anything else. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I can think of some ways that I could be angry and it not be a violation of one of my rights. Okay? Well, just sit there and think for a minute. Well, what about the righteous anger? I believe righteous anger is because of a violation of God's rights. Could I be angry at someone for taking the life of someone else? I could, because a God's law has been violated. Or am I more concerned about what was violated for me? Or is it, again, is it about God? What about someone stealing stuff from me? I worked hard for that. Is it your right to own the stuff? Or are you really concerned about God's reputation? Well, God says we shouldn't steal. That's true, he should. But are you more concerned about God's reputation than your stuff? Because if it's your stuff, then it's another violation of a right, a perceived right that you have. What about, as I thought this week, I thought, okay, I'm going to get in trouble here, but follow me a little bit, okay? What about what our forefathers said? That men are endowed with, from their Creator, with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's compare those with Scripture, if you will. Life. God says your life is not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So your life is really not yours. What about liberty? Now, brethren, use not a liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love, serve one another. What about the pursuit of happiness? Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Can I tell you something? It all goes back to God. The truth is, I have no rights. And if I get to that place, it's hard for a dead man to be angry. Matter of fact, the dead man doesn't react to anything. You can walk up and slap him, call him names, do whatever. He doesn't react. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. It's not about me. I just want to challenge you with this. Take the times when you're angry and start analyzing them. What's really at the root of this thing? Why am I mad that that guy pulled out in front of me? This is my highway, and he's in my space. Whatever it may be. We view, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but we view sin lightly. We don't really see it as bad as it is. Cain thought, hey, I can do things my own way. Now let's look at not only the anger, but the account. What does God say? God gives a statement of reasons or causes, or he's explaining some things here. God, again, asks questions, all right? You can talk to me. Why does God ask questions? Okay, to show us where we're at. He's not looking for information. He's wanting admittance. Here's where I am. Why art thou wroth? Cain, why are you so mad? Cain, why you got that sourpuss look on your face? What happened? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, if you're doing right, shouldn't you be accepted? Many times, I'm not going to say every time, but I can tell you the grave majority of the time, when someone explodes in anger, there's something else they're hiding. Typically, they already know they're wrong. Why did Nebuchadnezzar react the way he did with three Hebrew children not bowing before him? I mean, he was the ultimate power. Why didn't he just say, hey, you bunch of peons, you have no authority here. I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Poof! Why did it make him so angry? The Bible says his visage changed. I mean, he was angry, and he did some really dumb things. Most people believe that the fiery furnace that he put those three Hebrew children in was the furnace that he built the giant image there. If you study that, it takes it about 1,800 degrees to melt down the elements that he needed to make this. Last time I checked, 1,800 degrees would do a pretty good job on your body. You're probably not going to survive it. He heats it 7 times. Okay. And for what? He was so angry. He couldn't see straight. He kills his own people. I am absolutely convinced the reason he was so angry is he knew he was wrong. Was he without witness? Oh no. He had already had plenty of witness of God's truth before him. Matter of fact, he says, doesn't he? I thought we put 3 men in the fire, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Where'd he get that idea? Where'd he even think that maybe the Son of God would be walking in the midst of the flames with those 3 Hebrew children, other than the fact that they told him, hey, look, our God can do anything he wants. We could go in other passages of Scripture and you see this instant anger. Like, what's going on? So God asked him questions. It's not that God was rejecting what he did. It's because he had disobeyed God. And God says to him, listen, more sin is coming if you don't resolve this. Sin's coming. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 is an interesting verse. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Again, do you believe that God only told Abel what was required and not Cain? I don't believe that. Abel knew that if he offered this sacrifice and he placed his faith in it, that God would impute to him his righteousness. That's what this verse is saying. He was a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And his testimony continues to live. Number 3, the annihilation, verse 8. He talked with his brother and he killed him. He killed him. Cain, why'd you kill your brother? What did he do? Can I tell you what he did? He chose to obey God. He chose to obey God. Anger against God is carried out many times against his people. See, Cain couldn't murder God, but he could murder the guy that God had respect unto. He could get rid of the testimony of his own sinfulness, couldn't he? Let me just eliminate my brother out of the way. Many times, persecution comes because you're living right. You've made some right choices. Most of my family is not living for the Lord. Last time I went to a family reunion with many of those people, they not only are they not living for the Lord, but most of them mock Christianity. And so there was a big circle of guys, and they're talking, and it was, you know, all the family reunion and so forth. And I walk up to enter the conversation. I wasn't talking about the Lord. We were just generally talking. And just a few minutes, I'm standing there by myself. Everybody's gone. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Yeah. So now they're all gathered over here. And so I thought, well, I must have missed the memo, you know. So I go to stand with the crowd, and just minutes later, they're all gone again. Wow. By the second time, I'm like, all right, I got the picture. You know, it wasn't that they were rejecting me, per se. They had rejected God. And I stood for what they knew was right. Not because I was a perfect person. They knew. All of my cousins grew up in church. They knew better. They were rejecting God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's why he slew him. God tells us that. Why'd you kill your brother? Because he was good and I was bad, that's why. That's what happens. Years ago, a book that I read made this statement, and it is tremendous. I don't remember what book it is, but it has not left me, obviously. He made this statement: you add sin to sin when you don't deal with sin. Can you say that with me? You add sin to sin when you don't deal with sin. One more time. You add sin to sin when you don't deal with sin. That is so critical. When God confronted Cain, "Cain, why are you so angry?" "God, that's wrong. God, I knew I needed to offer a lamb, but I wanted to do it my own way. Will you forgive me? I'll go offer a lamb." I believe case closed. I believe case would be closed, but that's not what he did. What sin are you pandering to that will lead to more sin in your life? Most of us would think, "Hey, look, he's just mad." I've had people tell me, "Look, I was born this way." I already knew that. It's called being born a sinner. "I was born with a short fuse. Well, get a long one." The more we make justification for our sin, the less we're willing to deal with it. How's your meters right tonight? Your rights meter? How is it tonight? I've been violated, so I've got this anger inside of me. Say, "Well, I'm not really an angry person. I don't ever say anything to anybody." Are you seething inside? You know? You ever met someone that just seemed to be perfectly fine and, you know, all of a sudden you say, "Hey, good morning, how are you?" "I'm fine!" You're like, "Whoa, hey, okay, what happened to you?" You know, really? All of a sudden the volcano went off, right? Number four, the penalty. Look at verse 9. Questions again. The Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Cain, where's your brother? He said, "I know not." Lie. I'm adding sin to sin. It just keeps piling up. And not only that, but if we were to put it in modern day English, we would say, "I'm not his babysitter." That's what he's saying. So not only is he lying to God, but now he's being smart mouthed to God. And God said, "What hast thou done?" Well, what did you do? Again, God already knew what he did. I believe each one of these questions is an opportunity for Cain to say, "God, I blew it. I sinned against you." But he didn't do that. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." I want you to think, what was he? He was a tiller of the ground. "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." It doesn't matter what kind of garden you plant, it will never yield fruit. Wow. "A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "I repent. I'm sorry. I was wrong." Nope. "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." Whoa, whoa, whoa. God didn't make that choice. Cain had made that choice. "And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." By the way, with sin comes fear. Now he can't roam the earth without being scared that somebody is going to do to him what he did to his brother. Every corner I walk around, I'm scared because of the sin. "And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any man find him, finding him should kill him. Again, what incredible God we serve. Another opportunity. Okay, Cain, I'll take care of that. No one's going to kill you. No repentance. No repentance. The very ground he worshipped would no longer yield a crop to him. His descendants, if you look at verse 20, as you come through and his sons begin to bear children, look at verse 20, and Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tents and such as have cattle. Some of them were shepherds, cattlemen. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Now he was musicians. Tubal-Cain, an instrument of every artificer in brass and iron. Not one of them farmers. Why not? It'd do them no good. Wouldn't do them any good to plant seeds because they wasn't growing. Some have argued, I don't believe that the text proves this. I think they're taking it beyond, but some have argued that part of Cain's issue was he didn't want to kill innocent a lamb. Lamb didn't have anything to do with it. I don't want to kill him. It's a bloody religion. And their argument is that that's been religions have criticized us all through the years. And that's possible. The text, I don't believe, proves that. But it is interesting that if that were true, that the only way Cain could eat was to kill animals. Ground wasn't going to produce food for him. And so for him to survive, he would have to kill those animals, if indeed that was a reason why he thought it was wrong. Most punishments are worse than we can imagine when we choose to sin. That is because we undercut, I believe, the sinfulness of sin, and we overestimate our own value. We think we're too valuable and our sin's not that bad. And God says, our sin is horrid. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all your sin. And your value is only found in the finished work of Christ. Think about this. Adam and Eve have now lost two sons to sin's curse. Not only did they have to bear the grief of knowing that one of their sons is dead. I don't know what happened. But it would not surprise me that as Adam and Eve stand over the dead body of their son, they could hear the words of Satan, "Thou shalt not surely die." Not going to be the way God said. But they lost their second son because he leaves. How I'm sure they wish they could change things. I remember one week my wife and I planned a surprise trip. We needed some time away, and so we had planned this whole thing. We'd set it up to... I think it was going to be a Friday morning. I don't remember exactly. We were taking our kids to their favorite place. We were going to spend Friday and Saturday, I believe it was, and then be back for church, and had it all planned. We were getting excited about it, you know. And that week, we caught our kids cheating on their school. I believe that's what it was. We think that's what it was. We found that they had hid a test key upstairs, and they were filling in their answers. Not only did it break our heart, but I said to them, you know what we were doing Friday morning? And I mentioned where we were going. There was a whole lot of weeping in that house that night. If we had just known. That's true. If we had just known. So they got to stay home and do school all weekend because they had to make up the work that they had cheated on instead of going to have fun. By the way, it cost us too. We would rather been where we were planning to go to instead of in the house with all the kids. But we never get to choose our consequences, do we? We do get a choice. Don't forget that. The choice is to sin. That's your choice. You just don't get to choose the consequences. What will you choose? Lastly, the postscript. I think this is interesting in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Again, he didn't have to make that choice. I believe anywhere along this path he could have said, God, I was wrong. I repent. Will you forgive me? But he chose to walk away from God. How do you respond when confronted with sinful choices? Either through personal study of the Word of God, maybe someone lovingly rebukes you, or a message that you hear, or whatever. How do you respond to that? Is it a hardened, nope, don't talk to me? It's really not that big of a deal. I was just a little mad. But how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to kill your sibling or someone else? I mean, really, how far do we want this sin issue to go? Proverbs 14 and verse 12 and Proverbs 16 and verse 25 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It does not work for us to do it our way. Doesn't work. The enemy tries to tell us that it'll work. Our own mind tries to tell us it'll work. Why does it have to be a blood sacrifice? Why can't it be? This is what I grew. This is what I have. Why can't I just offer what I have? People today like to say that. I think I can work my way to heaven. I think there are many ways to heaven. We talked about that Sunday morning. Cain tried to do it his own way. We're not going to take the time tonight, but hopefully next week we'll touch on, as you unfold the names of his children and the subsequent ones, you will find that they are utterly rejecting God. Utterly rejecting God. Matter of fact, it's not to the end of chapter 4 that Seth is born. And the Bible makes an interesting statement. Then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. As far as we have recorded in Scripture, Cain never repented. He walked away. I believe even in God's grace to preserve his life, he was giving him opportunity to repent. But he never would. Never would. Father, help us not to be so stubborn as I many times am. Help us, Lord, to deal with, if it's anger, our own rights being violated, lying, being smart mouthed to you. We can do those things. We'd like to think we can't, but we do. May we respond right to the correction, whether it be in personal study or Holy Spirit conviction in that personal study or a message or a friend or whatever it may be. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and its reminders. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.